All right, so with me now is I've got Mark Barth, who is the chief talent officer from the Luck Companies. And let me talk a little bit about Luck. People who live in the area, you know this company very well. They are a construction company. They aggregate in construction. They are headquartered here in Richmond. They were founded by Charles Luck Jr. in 1923. His grandson and third-generation leader, Charles Luck IV, heads the company today. And that by itself is an accomplishment because the old joke used to be short sleeves to short sleeves in three generations. The grandfather starts it, the son does all right, and the grandson kills it. And this is not the case here. They have 28 operating locations and nearly 900 associates or employees. They have been building strong communities for almost 100 years. And throughout this time, the company's focus has been on people. You know, they've gone beyond what they do, and now the focus is on the people in the organization. And so with that, what I'd like to do is introduce Mark and welcome to the show. Mark, how you doing?
Good. Doing great, Bill. Thanks for having us.
Thank you. So I got a couple questions here for you. The company has grown to one of the nation's largest family-owned and operated producer of crushed stone, sand, and gravel. How'd you do that?
I would say it started, as you said, almost 100 years ago when the company was founded by owners that were very passionate about people, people in general, certainly their associates at a time when companies weren't as used to culture and leadership and that kind of thing. And so for decades now, regardless of who was running the company, the family always made sure they were taking care of their folks, taking care of customers, taking care of vendors. And I would say over the last decade or so, we took that to another level when we created a mission statement that includes igniting human potential through values-based leadership and positively impacting the lives of others around the world. So what that means is we want to create an environment, an engaged culture, where associates can come here, realize their potential, have a great operating safe environment, and with that engagement, and with that kind of inspiration, we hope they can pass that on to other members of their community, whether it's church or school or what have you. So we've been actively pursuing that culture. We also have a very rich values creed, if you will, a code of language that we use to operate our business. We use that to communicate with each other, set expectations. That includes creativity, leadership, integrity, and commitment. And we have outcome statements that are part of that, as well as expected behaviors. And we communicate about those things, we train around those things, and that's really helped us be successful kind of into this third, and now we're working on fourth generation.
So that I love hearing that, Mark. This is Donna, and thank you for your service. I saw that was you that did some military service as well.
Yes, I sure did. I spent 8 years in the active army.
Yeah, great. I did as well, and 20 years. So on this Veterans Day, thank you for your service.
Wow, you as well.
Yeah,
lasted a little longer than I did.
Yes, and also I love that you talk about people being the greatest asset, because there's a lot of companies that have a higher line item for toilet paper on their budget than they do for their people. And so kudos to you and your company for that. Bill, Mark, tell me, how do you protect and encourage your talent?
Probably the main lever we're constantly chasing and pushing is that culture and engagement. We have a high emphasis on development. All of our associates are expected to take at least one class in business or technical skills each year, and then one class in values or people skills, the softer skills, which I think is really unusual for most companies to invest that kind of time and energy across the spectrum. Many companies try to invest that time in leadership teams, maybe at the higher levels, maybe for succession candidates, but we attempt to extend that development and that conversation from the newest associates, whether they're early in their career, all the way to those who are close to retirement, from senior levels and down through the ranks. So I think one way we try to protect and encourage talent and retain talent is through development. And as you know, technical skills are becoming more and more difficult to attain and attract, and so we're working very hard on bringing folks in who don't have the skills and setting them up to be successful with this work. We've got, you know, mines in a four-state area now, and folks can come here and have a very successful career, and for a long, long time. We're one of the few companies that still offer a 401k match and a pension. That is extremely rare. And so we believe between culture, development, and then a really robust benefits package and competitive pay that we can get the people we need. And so far, it's working.
Mark, this is Bill back again. Let's talk about innovation and, you know, a rock-crushing company and innovation. Those don't seem to go together in the same sentence. How do you guys do that?
I would agree taking big rocks and making them into little rocks. It probably doesn't sound very exciting, but certainly an aspect of innovation means going first, doing something that hasn't been done before, solving a complicated problem. And part of our rich kind of history is that we've been willing to try things when other companies couldn't figure it out or didn't want to spend the money or maybe didn't have the time and resources. We are one of the first companies to automate our plants so that plant managers in some locations can control production from their house and with a laptop. And many other companies do that now, but we were the first. And we also have a lot of digital apps and things that we try to include with our customer package to really service their needs, not just at the project level, so where folks are accepting Haulstone and that kind of thing, but even back-end operations in ways that many other aggregate companies aren't comfortable supporting or don't want to take the time with. Now, like most companies, we're pretty obsessed right now in trying to figure out what will robotics mean to us, what will AI mean to us, what will big data and analytics mean to us. So we're trying to stay at least aware and current on how those opportunities will make us change our business in the future.
Oh, that's great. This is Donna again, Mark, and I love hearing it. It just sounds like those Army values of adapt and overcome and your innovation. But there's some risk involved in that. So how do you maintain sustainable growth and stay ahead of the game?
No, that's a great question. Not only is this tough work, it's outside. The environment can be difficult, so we have a huge emphasis on safety and open communication, and we're very careful about not only our employees' sustainability, but the sustainability of the company. It's been pretty difficult for us to kind of break out of Virginia because these large publics can snap up all the opportunities that are out there. But over the last several years, we've gotten really aggressive with our growth plans. Right now, we are in sites from Maryland all the way down to Georgia. We just made our largest acquisition in the company's history, almost 100 people at a site right next to the Atlanta airport, as well as a new location in South Carolina to join our location in North Carolina, and as you know, many in Virginia. So we are spending a lot of time, a lot of energy, and a lot of resources to make sure we can keep our growth going for our people's development and for the success of our company.
All right, we've got a hard break coming up at the bottom of the hour, but I just want to introduce this, and then I'll let you answer it when we come back. And that is, in 2019, what companies was ranked in the top three most engaged places to work in the United States as part of the Global Farm Corn Ferry's annual Associate Engagement Awards for the second year in a row? And that is pretty prestigious, especially considering what you do. You know, if we're in a service-based company, that's a whole lot easier to pull off. But given what you do, that's incredibly difficult. So when we come back from the break, what I'd like to do is I'd like to pick up the conversation there. You are listening to 92.7 FM, 820 AM, Not Your Father's Talk Station, better known as WNTW, at 329 here in beautiful downtown Chester. We'll be back. And we're back. This is 92.7 FM, 820 AM, Not Your Father's Talk Station, better known as WNTW, live from Chester, Virginia, 3:34 in the afternoon. And nice way to start with a little Buffett. And so with that, let me go back to Mark here. What we were talking about was the fact that you guys had won this award several times in a row. Looks like twice. And what does that mean for the company? And how did you pull that off?
It's a great question, because it's been a little bit a long time in coming since we started this work in 2003 or so. First of all, we are really thankful for that recognition and really proud of the work that we're doing in the values and leadership arena. Korn Ferry is a well-known, reputable, worldwide company that helps and measures culture and engagement for thousands of companies around the world. So to get this kind of recognition as a top three for small company category 2 years in a row is really exciting for us. And it really is a testament to the work that our associates perform, that our leaders, how they conduct themselves, and how we try to inspire and engage everyone. It's interesting to take this back to where we started over 15 years ago now. The company was growing rapidly. Charlie had been in charge as a CEO for a number of years. And even though we were growing rapidly and the finances were fine, the issue, Bill, was that the leadership at the top wasn't healthy. There was a lot of infighting and dysfunction. And despite Charlie's attempt to try to adjust that problem, he wasn't getting anywhere. And he was really concerned. He and his dad were concerned that while we were growing rapidly and doing fine again, that we were starting to lose some of the foundational elements of our culture and the way we treated each other and the way we cared about each other. We were getting kind of too big, right, to navigate this space. So Charlie started looking for answers, and he sent his VP of HR at the time on a quest to try to find a consultant that could help us navigate this space. And we found Holtcat is the largest Caterpillar dealer in the U.S. They're based in Texas, and they have an associate there named Guy Klumpner, who is still working in this arena, and he works in addition to his regular business duties, he consults with companies who are having trouble managing their culture. So we decide to engage with Guy Klumpner. He comes on the first day, meets with all the officers. He says, you know, I'm here to help. Let's do some diagnosing. Let's find out what the problems are. He said, take a couple minutes and write down everything that's wrong with the company. So you've got these strong personalities in there, and as you might expect, they start cranking out a nice long list. You know, I'm sure the HR person complained about IT, and IT complained about operations, and operations complained about sales, because operations and sales always complain about each other. That's part of business. And after 2 minutes, he said, put your pencils down, put your pens down, and he said, I'll give you $20 if you wrote down yourself that you are one of the biggest problems going on at this company. And of course, as you might expect, nobody wrote down themselves.
Right. He knew
he
was
everybody else, right?
He knew he was giving away the $20.
Exactly. Exactly. He didn't have to bring more than one, right? And what that did is that helped us embark on that recognition that culture starts with leadership, and it starts at the top. And if you can't get that straight, it's very, very difficult to land the better parts of leadership, inspiration, culture change, and shift. So that started really what we call the values journey, where we worked really hard on tools and processes to generate self-awareness and then self-management. How do you engage with others? How do I know enough about your needs, Bill, that I can adjust to your needs in the moment? And inspire you in a way that's still very real to me, but also connects with you. And what we found was, at first it felt like we were slowing business down, because all this stuff takes time. And a lot of folks didn't want to do it. A lot of people, not a lot, but some people don't want to have those kinds of conversations at work. They just want to do their job. So I would say we lost about a third of the officer group over the next several years who just were not interested in kind of this new way of doing things. What we did find was that we were able to make money, we were able to still be successful, we were able to take care of customers while having a new approach that is much more open, much more engaged, and I think much more efficient and effective when it comes to leadership. At the same time, when the recession hit, we kind of thought we were bulletproof. We were like, man, with these values and this leadership, you know, you can't beat us. Well, when you lose 50 to 60% of your revenue in a great recession, that really makes you not wake up, but it makes you readjust and see what else you can do with your leadership and your culture. So we made it through that. We kept our values intact. We didn't change or stop any of the training and development we were doing. And a lot of companies, the first thing that goes is training. The first thing you do is you start to save money. And we were able to keep all of that intact, even though we did have to have quite a bit of reduction in force, which was really painful. After all of that work, Charlie, in a really strong moment of reflection, decided instead of just keeping this conversation at the local level in our company, he had gotten so many examples and stories from associates who said, while I'm enjoying my work more and I have better relationships with my boss and my peers, I'm actually finding as much or more success with these kind of behaviors and this kind of training outside of work. I'm a better spouse. I'm a better parent. I'm a better friend. My family dynamics are different because I'm using some of these tools outside of the workplace. And that was a time when Charlie said, you know what, I'm going to invest some of my personal time and resources into trying to get this work and this message external to the company, because I think it's so powerful and can really help ignite the potential of others. And that's when he started forming up this idea of establishing a leadership institute in order to try to practice these tools, help consult with companies, and carry this kind of message and some of this culture work forward.
And I understand that you have Betsy Fort Lewis with you. And is that part of her role in the organization?
Sure is.
This is Betsy.
Hi, Betsy.
So as Mark just shared, the excitement around this work really transformed the organization in such a powerful way that in 2015, InnerWell Leadership Institute was founded by Charlie and our board. And so at InnerWell, we exist to have impact. And we do that through teaching the necessary skills to strengthen leadership capabilities and drive results through the practice of values-based leadership. So as Mark has shared, we know that values-based leadership motivates and inspires employees by connecting organizational goals to employees' core values. And we also know that companies who foster a values-based approach to leadership create connections that have a significant impact on organizational outcomes. So this includes higher levels of engagement, lower levels of turnover, increased alignment around a company's strategy and mission, and honestly, a better bottom line.
Hey, Betsy, this is Donna, and you are just warming my heart with all things leadership. I love what you're telling us about InnerWell. And I understand you have a leadership lab also that goes along with that?
We do. So one of the programs that we're really proud of, it's one of our oldest programs that actually Luck helped spur before the nonprofit was even created, is called Leadership Lab. It's going to be in its ninth year. And so this is a program we started in 2012 that provides a focused, practical leadership development opportunity for mid- and senior-level employees throughout the Richmond community in an effort to promote innovation, collaboration, and economic growth. So we partner with Chamber RVA on this program. And since it started, we've had almost 400 different professionals representing Fortune 500 companies, nonprofits, and small to mid-sized businesses across industry sectors, with a real focus on self-awareness and individual leadership development.
Oh, fantastic. Did you say that InnerWell is a nonprofit?
Yes. So we are a 501c3 nonprofit, and what that means for us is we have a mission to develop better people, braver leaders, and a wiser world through values-based leadership. We do this through working with paying corporations and clients, and any profit that we make, we do free and reduced rate work with other nonprofits or school systems around the country.
Ah, sweet. And this is one of the umbrella companies under Lux?
Yes. So we are, we were founded by Luck Companies, and we are a separate nonprofit leadership development institute. So we operate differently. Luckily, we are not set to the same financial rigor because we would not be able to be sustainable as a nonprofit. And that allows us, though, you know, the most exciting thing, really, I think that's a great differentiator for what we do versus other leadership development institutes, is that we have Luck Companies almost as a living lab. So all the work that we do with other organizations, we get to test this out with Luck Companies and their over 800 associates to see that it's really sticky and practical and accessible, because our philosophy, which was born out of Luck, is that leadership is a choice and not a title, and that leaders can be developed at every level of every organization. So as Mark shared earlier, you know, we have surface miners who are going through monthly classes that teach them self-awareness and emotional intelligence and how to deliver feedback and how to resolve conflict in an effective way. And we know that these programs work and, you know, are accessible regardless of, you know, your walk of life or what industry you're in, whether you're a nonprofit or a family business or, you know, a big Fortune 500 company.
And I'd like to add in a little bit. While I think InnerWell can do that work in a great fashion with all sizes of companies and that kind of thing, I do think there's a special part of DNA in their skill set, having kind of grown up and being in such close proximity to such a successful family-owned business. And so I just wanted to throw out that I think that's a real sweet spot when it comes to helping family-owned, large and small, be successful, figure out their succession patterns for the future, because these are all things that that Luck Companies has had to wrestle with and figure out how to land. So I just wanted to put it, I think every consulting business, you know, has kind of their sweet spot, and I think that's an extra one that that InnerWell has that sometimes you might not find in another spot.
Okay, let me carry you over through the break, because I've got a break for the closing bell at the market, and I've got one more question to ask you, and then we're done. So you've been listening to 92.7 FM, 820 AM, Not Your Father's Talk Station, live at 346 from Chester, Virginia.
It's just a gypsy. Make me pack up my bags and go. Yeah, it may seem like I'm on a roll, but it's just a gypsy in my soul.
And we're back, 92.7 FM, 820 AM, and we are not a radio station, but that was a little Van the Man doing Gypsy in My Soul, a song that speaks to me. This is WNTW, Not Your Father's Talk Station, at 3:49 in the afternoon from Chester, Virginia. And we are lucky to have two representatives from the Luck Companies, Mark Barth, who's the Chief Talent Officer, and Betsy Fort Lewis, who's Director of Development and Partnerships. So, Donna, you had a closing thought that you wanted to apply here.
Yeah, I did. You know, in learning about this company, Bill, with Mark and Betsy today, I think it's such a testament to the Luck Companies that they're really putting their money where their mouth is in this nonprofit that they have, this InnerWell nonprofit, to really get it out there to show to other people that it's worked for us, it can work for you, and we stand by it.
So is there any way that other companies can participate in this? Betsy, any way that they can contact you?
100%. So we've provided this work to over 150 organizations, actually in 18 states. And so we would welcome everybody to visit our website, which is www.innerwell.org. And there you can actually read a blog that Mark himself wrote in honor of Veterans Day about a purpose-driven life, which I think is a nice connection with your own program, and learn more about our services, and you can sign up for a free discovery meeting with us.
Well, thank you for being on, and this won't be the last time that you all are on the station, because I would like to talk more about this. You know, when you got about 47 minutes of airtime, there's just so much you can do, and then you're stuck. So I'd like to have you back in, and but I do appreciate you taking the time this afternoon and talking to our audience. And I've known the Look companies. I've been in Virginia 20-some-odd years, and you all have an excellent reputation.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate your time today.
Okay, and thank you to the Virginia Chamber for putting that together.